Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our reading today comes from Psalms 127, and it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives sleep to his beloved. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate."
Father, I pray, Lord, for open hearts as we prepare to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you all take a seat, everybody? For those of you who are new here, my name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. This is our Logan location. We met earlier in our location central. And I'm really blessed you're here tonight because as we're going through this series called The Others, where we're reimagining relationships and how God has called us to relate to one another, this particular message is very important to me because we're going to be looking at the relationship between parents and children. Now, before you kids start talking about, oh, no, this is the part where he starts talking about how us kids need to behave ourselves and be better. Oh, and you, Uncle Danny, why are you going to talk like this? You know, I don't want to be here. Well, let me just, I know you all call me Pastor Nelly, so I brought a seat with me. So, you know, I'm not like this. I'm like, chill, right? And I want to take this opportunity for all of you who are children, because how many of you know we all are children? We're children of somebody. And I wanted to take this position of humility as delivering this message because I really believe that it's going to unlock some things. And for all you young ones here, I'm actually going to talk to your parents. And as I talk to your parents, I hope you see the hard job that we have to do being parents, because it's not easy raising champions like you. You know, you're amazing. You're amazing. And so I believe you'll learn a lot if you're a child in here or if you are, you know, living in your parents' house and relating to them. I believe we'll all learn a lot today. And I believe by the end of the service, we're going to have the opportunity to pray for one another. And we want you also, you young children here, youth, those of you who are living with your parents as well, to pray for us as your parents. And we're going to have the opportunity to pray for your parents as well. And parents, we're going to have the opportunity to pray for our children later on. But the title of my message is From Car Seat to Driver's Seat. From Car Seat to Driver's Seat. Now, I remember, those of you who don't know, I'm a father of three children. I'm married to Tina. We've been married now. This is 16 years. And so it's been an amazing journey. But my 2006, the year 2006, anybody, how many of you were not born in 2006, all right, my, thanks, Riley, you make me feel old now, but 2006, this was the year, quite a year for me, because what happened was I was living in New Zealand at the time. I was working with our Every Nation Church there. Adrian was there during that time, and you know, we were, not to bring up our age, but but you know, like we were at the church at the time, and I was a campus minister like Sammy, and serving in the worship ministry. And I fell in love with this amazing Singaporean Filipina named Tina, right? And so I would go to I went to this conference in Singapore. I'm going to keep this short because, you know, how many of you know when pastors start talking about their love story, it takes the whole sermon. I went to go and serve in the lead worship at this conference in Singapore. And I knew God was moving my heart, and my heart was being moved. My voice dropped like this. And so let me just tell you about my 2006 really briefly. In February, the week after Valentine's Day, I still remember it because I didn't have the guts to ask her out in Valentine's Day. So it was the week after I asked her to be my girlfriend. Now, I know that sounds strange because what's a guy that's in his 30s asking a girl to be his girlfriend and she's like a fully grown woman? So my woman friend? That doesn't sound... But like we were going out, going steady. I don't know what you say. We're in a relationship, all right? Okay, so it started in February, and then she flew in April as our relationship was just developing quite quickly, this, what we call in the Philippines, we call LDR, diba, long distance relationship, LDR. Yeah. And so she flew to New Zealand where I was staying, and I proposed to her, I proposed to her at Lake Rotorua so that if we forget anything, we'll remember the smell. And so for those of you who don't know, Rotorua is a place where a lot of sulfur and geysers brew up, and it smells like eggs, all right? If you ever get the opportunity to go to Rotorua, I know I'm not advertising it very well right now, but it's an amazing place. So I proposed to her, and, you know, she became my fiance. And then in September, we got married. And the reason why I just hit September, because, you know, like us as men, for those of you ladies here, we have a tendency to forget our anniversary. So I made sure I got married on the day that they talk about it in the Earth, Wind, and Fire song, the 23rd night of September. That's my anniversary. So I never forget it. Every time I'm like, when's my anniversary again? Do you remember? 23rd night. There it is. There it is. Okay. So girlfriend, February. Fiance, April. September, we became married. October, I moved from New Zealand to Singapore. And then in November, we found out that Tina was pregnant with our eldest daughter, Nazareth. And so, I remember the following year, and which was, you know, in August. You know, for those of you who don't know, my birthday's August the 21st, for those of you who are taking notes so you remember, with size 14 shoes, I'm just saying. faith without hints is dead. But anyway, like she was born on August 16, and I knew that, like, right from that point, oh man, that means no more celebrations for me. It's going to be, you know, I have to share it with this princess. And I remember, like, because she was my firstborn, how many of you remember, for those of your parents here, when your first child is born, that you're like, especially for us dads, we're like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. And our wives who have been carrying the child for 9 months, like, you better be ready for this. All we're thinking about is, oh man, I don't know if I have enough money. I don't know if I have enough, like, have I learned enough? And so here we are 16 years later, and I still don't know if I'm ready. But I remember, because we didn't own a car back then, it was actually, how would I say this? It's quite expensive to drive a car in Singapore. And so at that time, we didn't have a vehicle. So we'd catch a taxi, right? So baby was born, obviously a day or two to recover. And then when I went to pick up Tina and Nazareth, I remember holding that baby in my arms while Tina got in the car. And the moment that the door shut, and again, I'm in Singapore. I don't have any family around me. How many of you are thankful for those of you who gave birth and you had family around you? Like, I didn't have any family around me. No cousins in Singapore, nothing. You know, mom's in New Zealand at the time. And so I'm holding this baby. The moment that the cab door shuts, I'm like, I need to figure out really quickly how to raise this child, right? I don't feel ready. All this weight of responsibility clicked when the door clicked. And I just remember sitting there looking at my beautiful princess, Nazareth, who's now 14 years old, going on 15, just looking at her being like, wow, I'm now responsible for this child. And praise God. I hope you can ask Nazareth herself. I think I'm doing okay. I hope so. But still the same question is there, because now Nazareth's a teenager, right? And I'm still trying to figure out, how do we do this? Because I haven't done this before, right? And it's not like you can just read a book on it, right? For all the parents in here, like, you can get some tips from books, but there's no way you can, like, copy and paste, especially once you have your second child. This is a photo of Nazareth when she was 2.5 years old, and this was after the birth of my son, Zion. Many of you know here, my son, Zion, is on the autism spectrum, right? And so I can't just copy and paste the way that I fathered Nazareth onto Zion, and then I have a younger daughter named Jordan. It's not a copy and paste, because the three of them have amazing personalities and characteristics. They're amazing children, and I'm really blessed by all of them, the aspects of all three of them. Like, Jordan's a lot more gregarious, a lot more a people person. Nazareth's more introverted, loves living in her own world, and Zion is Zion, you know, just always playful. always, we call him in Tagalog, we call him kulito, buddy kulito, because he's sobrang kulit. Because he knows, like, even though he's verbally challenged, he doesn't speak much, he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly how to irritate his father and have fun doing it. And he smiles 24 hours a day. Even when he's sleeping, he's smiling. Like, I got you, Dad. I got you. Like, that's my children, man. They're amazing kids. And I'm just really blessed that God would entrust them to me. So when I look at this passage here that we just read and how it starts off with this word, unless. Everybody say, unless. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand or stay awake in vain. How many of you don't want to waste your life? Like, you want to live on purpose, right? And let me ask you this question. What are you building right now? What are you building with your life? When you look at the way you spend your time, your talents, your treasure, what is it going towards? What are you building? Have you ever thought about your life like it's the construction of an actual building or an edifice? And we move into verse 2, and it says here, it is vain for you to rise up early and to go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I want to put that on my fridge and a pillow, you know, that he gives to his beloved sleep. He wants to give you good sleep. Not sleep because of the exhaustion of your body, but sleep because he wants to give you rest. Right in Matthew chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, it says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. God wants to give you sleep and rest. See, when we build away from what God designs, we build in our own strength, right? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. How many of you know this passage? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with everything, and lean not on your own understanding or strength. Don't lean on your own strength. Don't lean on your own understanding. Verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Other versions say he will make your paths straight. When you begin to build on your own volition, apart from building the way he's called you to build, you move from a place of rest to a place of anxiety and a lack of sleep. And that's why this verse is saying here, he wants to give you rest. But if you build away from what he's designed for you to build, then what you end up doing is taking things on your own strength. You end up anxious. You end up fearful. You end up a lot more worried. You stay up. You have insomnia. You're concerned in a way that is unrighteous. And so therefore, for the first point, and I encourage you to take notes because I don't want you to get to tomorrow and go, oh, what was he talking about again? I want to help you to take these principles into your life that will help you as you walk through what God is calling you to build. The first point here is, unless we build what God builds, it's all pointless. Let me say this again. Unless we build what God builds, it's all pointless. So that's the first two verses. But then we notice the shift here. In verse 3, it starts off by saying this. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Now you may be wondering, okay, we were talking about building, but now you're talking about children. What's up with that? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the reason why he emphasizes this is because God builds through family. The way that God actually builds is through relationships, through family. He establishes his will through parents raising children and those children growing up to be parents who will raise children. It's always multi-generational the way he builds. Because many times when we think about building, we think about actual buildings like this building that we're in today. This awesome building that we get to be in to worship God today. But it's not just these buildings. It's the fact that he wants to use you to build in the lives of others, especially those who will become your offspring. And we can see this in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. On the screen right now, you see this picture, which is a screenshot of an episode of Phineas and Ferb. Any of you like Phineas and Ferb? Anybody here likes that cartoon? All right. The rest of you just watch Christian stuff. That's good. But like Phineas and Ferb, right? They had this episode where these two houses started fighting each other. And so when I read this passage from 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it says this, the war between the house of Saul and the house of David lasted a long time. And David grew stronger and stronger while the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. It's not as if we're talking about two actual houses fighting against each other. What he's talking about here is not houses. He's talking about families. Like the strength of the family of David was not as strong as the family within the house of Saul. Are you all with me? So this is important to see here. God builds through family, and God wants to build through your family. Whether you're here as a child of a parent or whether you're here as parents of a child or children, God wants to build through your family. The third point that we can generate from that particular verse is that children are a heritage from the Lord. Now, heritage is a word you hear often, but many of us forget what heritage means. When we talk about heritage, what we're talking about here is property that you inherit. So your heritage is that which is passed down from you from beforehand. And a lot of that emerges in terms of culture. Now, there are good parts about heritage, but sometimes the things that you inherit are not so good. How many of you know this? You know, a common phrase that we start to hear in pop culture is this term, generational trauma, or trauma from your past, or trauma from former generations. And so when somebody like Will Smith comes in during the Oscars and slaps Chris Rock, what you see is a reaction that you're wondering, where did it come from? Maybe it might have been the culture of which he was raised. Maybe it was the way that he was raised when he was younger. In fact, it was quite troubling. And I was sharing with some people on Wednesday at our prayer meeting that, you know, I had the opportunity to read Will Smith's autobiography where he writes about his life story. And he starts off by talking about how he was a coward. He labeled himself as a coward because he used to see his mom being abused by his father. And he said he was a coward. He labeled himself as a coward because he did not respond as a young child to stop his dad, who was in the military, from abusing his mother. So with that label, you see these responses that come from a heritage which is not correct. How many of you know this is not the heritage that God has for you? Do you believe that tonight? That this is not necessarily the heritage that God has for you. There may have been things from your past, from generations beforehand, that you might think, oh, this is just the way it is. No, it's not just the way it is. That's a Bruce Hornsby or Tupac song. That's not the way it is. Now, like, things have to change. And God wants to bring change because your children are the heritage from the Lord that brings a shift for the kingdom of God to come into your family in accordance with how you raise them, parents. And for us as children, for those of you who are children here, you have the opportunity to break chains in your family as well, seeing that you are part of a new heritage. Now, this next point that I'm going to make is really important, but I want to say this and preface this by saying we have some amazing single parents in our church. We have some amazing solo parents in our church. And I, as your pastor, along with our pastoral team and our leaders here, we want this to be an environment where single parents feel welcome to come and where we will commit as pastors and as leaders to help provide health and healthy models of what it's like to be husband and wife, or bring them around mentors and leaders and spiritual uncles and aunties to help them to your children to grow up in an environment where they are able to see God's design for perfect parenthood. But like we learned last week, that actually part of the heritage of which God wants us to walk into is actually the health of marriage. Because this is actually the way that God has designed for children to be raised. Now, I know we may hear that and think, oh, well, now that's being, I want you to hear me with the right spirit. This is not out of judgment other than to say there is a way that God has designed. Now, in saying this, I need you to hear me right, because like we discovered last week, you'll remember that data that I brought up from relationshipaustralia.com. where 78% of young Australians favour healthy marriages as best environments for parenting to take place. So it's something that's being yearned for here in Australia. Well, we just like the drama of watching maths, right? Andy Stanley, pastor of North Point Church in Atlanta, author as well, he wrote this: to isolate parenting and marriage is not just to change the bullseye, but it's to move the entire target. Now, by saying this, I want you to hear me out, okay? There is the ideal of Scripture, but then there's also the reality of the situations which we may face. And the reality of the situations we may face, you may think, man, there's no way my marriage or my family or my children are going to line up with the Word of God. I need you to hear me on this. Because actually, we have a beautiful model in the Bible. Check this out. God creates the heavens and the earth. He creates the world and creates humanity at the start. And he says for every man and a woman to be married and be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. So he gives his perfect design right from the start in Genesis 1. But by Genesis 3, humanity stuffs it up right away. Before the kids, Adam and Eve, right? They're partaking of the fruit. How many of you know if Eve had a child, she could have blamed it on the child, but she didn't. She was like, it's these kids. Give me a headache. Not a heritage, they're a headache. No, he didn't, but she had no children to blame it on, so she blamed it on the serpent. And the dad joke is the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on, right? Anyway. So I need us to understand this. Even though Adam and Eve had the ideal, they dealt with the reality of sin. And check this out. In the next chapter, we read about Cain and Abel. Their children. Yeah, Cain killed Abel. Anybody in here had that issue? Your children? Love Sinupu, you're doing a great job. How many of you know? Like, no, there's no murdering going on amongst our children. Amen. Ray, you're doing awesome. Like when you look at that, right? When you look at what the ideal is, but you look at the reality, even from our first forefathers and foremothers, you're like, okay, I can see God's grace working through the Bible. And it doesn't end there. You can go through all the Old Testament murders, sexual immorality, cheating, all this craziness, you know, merging idolatry. And we sometimes think that the Bible is too perfect. But I'm here to tell you there's grace today. Just walk towards Him. What a beautiful God that throughout the whole Old Testament, He keeps inviting Israel back. And He keeps inviting you back to His perfect design, to His ideal. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what your story has been up until this point. He still invites you to His ideal. And you don't have to strive for it. It's by His grace that this happens. And Pastor Nelly, why is it so hard to parent? It's children, man. It's hard. I know it's hard. But understand this. Like, one of the wisest parents I know once said this to me, and I've carried it with me on my parenting journey. The days are long, but the years are short. And you don't have long. You know, in our central location, in our central church, we had 3 babies born in the last 10 days. We're making disciples here at Every Nation Brisbane. Yeah, Joseph and Myrtle had their baby boy, and we had Masimba and Cece had their baby girl, and just on Friday, Carlo and Katria had their baby boy. And so, and I've had conversations with these parents, and they're all, oh, I don't know if we're ready. It's like, oh, man, how are we going to do this? I was talking to Masimba the other day, and he was like, man, you see how energetic my son is. How are we going to have another one? And I'm like, God's got it, man. God's got it. Like, we have an ideal, but the reality is, right, I don't have enough. And that's when God says, I'm building the house. Unless I build the house, you're going to labor in vain. Like, literally, ladies, you're going to labor in vain. But He's the one building. And that's why we've got to do it His way. Let's carry on here. the fruit of the womb are reward, not a burden. Children are a reward. Love that. It's really sad when everyone else spends more time with your children than the actual parents. And now, parents, I want to ask you this question. How well do you know your kids? And kids, how well do you know your parents? Because guess what? Your parents had lives before you were born. Is that real? Like, they were actually kids too. Get them to tell you their stories. And parents, don't drag your stories too long. You know, because sometimes, hey, right, kids? Parents are like, you know, when I was four, or back during the war. I'm like, oh, come on, Dad. You know, dodge the stories of when your dad says he could have been in the All Blacks or the Wallabies. Those are dodgy stories. But like, just kidding. Maybe you could have. But I want to show you this video, right? This video is from Singapore. Like I said, I used to live in Singapore, myself and my friend Raymond here. We used to live in Singapore. And this is a video that was issued by the government. And so in many parts of Asia, I know my Filipino family know this as well, my Filipinos here, that you would have helpers, right? Indai, diba? You would have helpers. And so what you're going to see here is... And helpers are like maids. I know that maid, being a maid is a derogatory term. That's why I don't want to use it, but it's used in this video. Well, we call them helpers. And so they would, you would pay them to stay with you and to help clean your house and also just to babysit from time to time. And so this video is going to show you some really startling examples of when actually it's basically a challenge between whether the helpers know their children better than the parents.
Hello, mommy.
Hi, how are you feeling?
Good.
Can you tell me more about her?
Like, how did they become such a...
So I'm gonna ask you a simple series of questions.
But my face will be blurred.
Yeah.
She would want to be a teacher.
Saya rasa dia nak jadi princess.
Princess?
I don't think he set his mind yet on anything in particular.
I think pilot.
I want to be a pilot when I grow up.
His favorite subject should be English.
Chinese.
Who is his best friend at school?
Very difficult to say. Not too sure.
Joseph.
Ifa.
Adelina, yeah.
Adelina.
And she likes a boy, Darius.
She doesn't let people know, so I don't tell you.
No boyfriend for me, just friend.
Usually when she have nightmares, she won't wake up, but she'll scream and cry.
Oh, cari saya. Dia ketakutan, mimpinya seram.
I will tell my auntie to sleep beside me when I have nightmares.
Now, you may be watching that video and think, oh, that's a reality check for Singapore or for Southeast Asia, but we don't have that issue here because we don't have helpers. But sometimes we can outsource our parenting to daycare, to teachers, to sports teams, to after-school care, all to free up our time. I'm not understanding that children are actually a reward that God has given you. So, you know, like I want to encourage you because God builds through relationship. And many of us may have come from cultures or heritages, if that is even a word, where relationship has not been open. I'm here to tell you today that we want to change that. We want to shift, see that shift here at Every Nation Brisbane. If I can speak to the brothers here as well, like many of us grew up around dads that may not have been vocal or may not have expressed themselves or may not have listened to you when you were a child. Can we take time to say, you know what, that's going to stop. I'm going to take time to listen and get to know my awesome kids. I'm going to take time to know them. Even for those of you who aren't parents yet, I think it's good for us to create that environment where communication can establish relationship, because God builds relationally. Just say this with me. God builds revelationally. God builds relationally. And God builds generationally. That's how he builds. And so if he's building generationally, we want to make sure that the relationships that he's establishing start with us as parents. And even for you young people here, start to create environments of openness and communication. Get to know your parents. If they'll let you, just ask them questions about, how did you deal with this? How did you deal with that? What was it like when you were growing up in school? And many of them will tell you stories, oh, it's not like you, son. No, you have a bus. I had to walk 4 miles over mountains. You know those stories. Oh, wake me up when you're done, Dad. Anyway, last two verses, everybody. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Any warriors in here today? Are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man or woman who fills his quiver full of them. He or she shall not be put to shame when he or she speaks with his or her enemies in the gate. The last point here is children are arrows. Children are arrows. And what is it about arrows, right? Arrows were meant to be fired out of the bow and hit a target, a specific target. They're used as weapons in the face of the enemy. And I often think, brothers and sisters, of the plight of our children and how they have to deal with being shaped by today's culture. It's not like how we grew up or how I grew up. I'll just say how I grew up, okay? Because I'm older. And your older people in here can either just nod your head shyly, whether you're a part of my generation or not. But back in the day, you know, like when my cousins or my friends would want to hide the fact that they were smoking cigarettes, you know, they'd spray and or they'd take off the clothes that smelled of smoke, because they didn't want to come home stinking, like smelling like soaps. Today we've got e-cigarettes and vapes now. You know, when you smoke, you smell like blueberry muffins. Like, you can't tell if someone's been smoking. You smell minty. What's that? It's a new flavor. There's new ways to hide it now. Back in the day, I hate being the guy saying the back in the day stories, but I'm going to do it anyway. Back in the day, we used to have a thing called video stores. Right? You all remember video stores? This is before Netflix put Blockbuster out of business. There was a place called Blockbuster and Video Easy, and you used to have to go in there and hire movies that were on what you call VHS tapes, right? And you used to put these in these machines, and after you're finished, you had to rewind it. You'd go into these places called video stores, and it stunk of wet carpet and old popcorn. How many of you remember that smell? Am I bringing back memories? Somebody got a testimony, right? You walk in there, it's dingy, get your new releases, and then you'd always wonder why there's this special section at the back called the adult section. You know, you always got that little cousin who wants to be the cheeky one and just try and go in the... You had to try really hard to access imagery that was either super violent or pornographic by nature. But today's generation is just one click away. There is no getting up, literally going down to a video store and literally going through, just making sure, I'm not sure if they have this movie. You're on Netflix, and there's like, you can watch it again or watch the next episode, and before you know it, your life is gone and you've finished all the episodes of Friends. It's all there at the click of a button now. And so when we talk about how hard we had it, you better believe that this generation has it tough. But it's a matter of asking the question, are we going to disciple our children, or are we going to let the culture disciple our children? Now, let me bring you back to this arrow, because I think that the analogy is really important of how God has likened our children to be like arrows. First part of the arrow making process is the straightening. And so this is a modern way of making arrows. You would get literally straightened out wood, and then you would refine it by removing any of the sharper edges or the extra extraneous parts of the branch or the wood. And then you would sharpen it or straighten it on what you would, you know, like some sort of hard granite countertop type surface. Back in the day, what you would do is you'd go up to trees. And how many of you have seen like trees that you never see a tree with branches that's just straight like that, right? They're like craggly, curvy like this, right? So you literally have to cut the branch off, like shape it and refine it out. And then you have to straighten it out because all trees aren't made with straight branches. If you find a tree that's got straight branches, please let me know. But all these trees, the trees that were available in Israel were mostly acacia trees. And these trees are like, hello, they're like this, right? So to make an arrow out of these trees, it takes a lot of work. And so what you would do is you would make it as close to an arrow shaft as you could. And even where it's not straight, what you would do is you would lubricate it, and then you would put it in this vise. And for those of you who don't know what a vise is, many of you do, but like in a wood workshop, you would put it in a place where, because it's lubricated, it's a little more pliable. Then you would put it in a vise grip. And as it's in that vise grip, it would straighten it out, and you would leave it there overnight. And a vise grip is like two metal edges, right? I believe that's symbolic of a husband and a wife, just helping to bring that straightness to the arrow. Because how many of you know, like if your arrow is not straight, how many of you know it's not going to hit the mark? It's what we call in Samoa, it's going to be bio. It's going to go, right? So you want the arrow to hit the mark. So in order for that to happen, the arrow needs to be straightened. Then after that, it goes through a period of cutting. John chapter 15 talks about this period of pruning, right? Where if you want to bear more fruit in the spirit, fruit in discipleship, if you want to bear more fruit, you have to be pruned in order that you bear more fruit. And so this cutting takes place because how many of you know, like when you get these branches, they have other little branches or they have other little edges. And so you need to prune away or cut away at those extra parts. And a lot of parenting is this way, because if you have those extra parts still on, it'll affect the flight of the actual arrow. Then the final thing that happens after you've got it straightened out, after you've been able to prune the excess and you see that it's perfect for shooting, what you want to do at that point is this process is called staining and sealing. And you would take the special varnish or the special oil and you would stain and seal the arrow so that it doesn't absorb outside moisture. And when I think about what is representative of oil in the New Testament, I think about the anointing of the Holy Spirit and how the anointing of the Holy Spirit helps us to guard our hearts and minds from outside influence so that we can hit the mark of what God has called us to hit. And so it's our responsibility as parents to create that environment where the anointing of the Holy Spirit flows in our parenting towards our children. So it's guarded. And we teach our children to be guarded and protected from these outside influences that will cause them not to hit the mark. They are arrows. And they're called to hit this mark. And then the final part is what we call fletching. And that's the part many of you will have seen those old school movies where arrows have that feather-like substance on the bound to the back of the arrow, right? You've got the shaft, and then you've got the actual point. On the other end, there's like these feathers, and they look like the same material as you'd find in badminton, right? Like that's on the back of this arrow. And those things are bound, and it's called fletching. And so fletching makes sure that as the arrow flies, it's able to fly its maximum distance. So there's a thing that's bound at the back of the arrow. How many of you have seen these things at the back of the arrow that are called, they're called fletches? And I often think about how our children need to be aware, and you need to be aware that you have a destiny and a purpose that God has given you, young people, that he's entrusted to you. That you're not called to live life by accident. There's a purpose and a target that he wants you to hit. And so the importance of being bound to the right people in relationship in friendship will help you to hit the target. Of course, as parents, we can't dictate that, but we can encourage our children to be in environments. But as our children grow older, they select their own friendships. And may I say this to all my young people, all my high school students up in here. Be careful who you choose to associate yourself with, because who you bind with, who you fletch yourself with, will end up guiding your arrow, whether it will hit the target or hit the mark or hit something else. You have a destiny. You have a purpose. And it's hard as parents to help our children. I know it's hard because we're not perfect examples ourselves. I'm not a perfect example of a parent myself, but I'm up for the journey. I'm up to journey alongside my kids. And I hope that as parents, we will say, you know what? I'm up for this journey. And I'm definitely going to need the grace of God on my life to be able to parent well. And all for all my young people up in here, doesn't matter if you're high school, university, if you're even working here, maybe you're around your parents or you live with your parents. My encouragement to you today is that how you honor your parents will determine also the flight path of your arrow as well. It's the only one of the commandments that has a promise attached to it, right? Honor your father and your mother that it may go well with you in the land. It's the only promise, only one of the commandments that has a promise attached to you. If you want things to go well with your life, and I know it's hard sometimes because us parents, we're not perfect, but continue to honor them. But here's the final question I ask you today. How prepared, parents, how prepared are our arrows? How prepared are you to take flight, young people? And parents, how prepared are we to, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, be able to create that environment for our arrows to take flight into the world? The question we ask here is, are your children ready for the world? And all my young people here, are you ready for the world? I'm going to read this passage here just in closing. Ephesians chapter 6, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, and this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live a long time in the land. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What we're going to do here now is I want us to get in groups. If you're around your children or you have your children around here, I'd love for you to get together with your kids and to pray for them. I've actually outlined a prayer here. And this is the parents' prayer that you can pray for your children. And children, I'd love for you to pray for us as your parents. Just pray from your heart for us that we figure this out, that we raise you well, that God would give us the grace as our Heavenly Father to parent you well, to raise you well. Now, if you're here and you're not around your own parents, you know, or you're not around your family, what I want to invite you into today is actually just take time to pray for your families. Take time to pray for your parents. Take time to pray for your siblings, your home environment. Can we do that tonight? So I'm going to leave this prayer up here. Parents, if you need a reference to pray for your children, you can go ahead and take this moment to do that. But let's take some time to pray. I'm going to pray for you as we start this time of prayer, and then we'll take it from there. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and just pray for our amazing families. Father, as a parent in this house, thank you for the opportunity to pray for my children, our children. And Lord, I thank you that, you know, even as I remember my own mother, Lord God, I thank you for the opportunity also to pray for my mom, pray for my wife, Lord, that we be the parents that you've called us to be. I pray for every parent in this room that you would help us, guide us, Lord God, to know what we're doing and how we're doing it, to be moved by your love and your grace to parent well. And also for my young people in here, all the children here, Lord, that you would give us the grace, Lord, to be able to be a blessing to our parents, to know how to pray for our parents, Lord, as they parent us, as they guide us to hit the mark that we're called to. So Lord, we love you today, and we thank you, God, that we are family. We are spiritual family in this room. So we just bless every marriage, every family, every single parent in this room, every young professional in this room, every student in this room, wherever we find ourselves in life, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you are the designer of family. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.